everybody, and welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren, and thank you for being here, and thank you for joining us by video for our sermon today titled, Making Ready for Today, for Sunday, for our topic. Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 14, the first 9 verses. And two couples were walking through the park, two seasoned couples. I don't want to say elderly or old, although I just did. But they was walking through the park, and the men were in the front, and the women were just a couple paces back of them. And they was having a conversation, and the men were talking, and finally the one man turns to the other one and says, a couple nights ago, we ate at the most magnificent restaurant. And the man said, really, what was so great about it? Oh, we had fish, and I had steak, and the desserts were great. It was just a great restaurant. Well, what was the name of it? I cannot remember. Well, where was it at? It was over there on Oak Street, but I can't remember the name of it. Well, if it was so good, how comes you could forget it? He said, hold on a minute. He turned around, and he looked at the two women walking to him, and he motioned to the one, which was his wife. He said, what is that flower that grows there with all the thorns on it? And the woman said, Rose. And he goes, yeah, Rose, what was the name of that restaurant we ate at the other day? Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. The sermon titled, Making Ready. Now the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at a table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have with you always. And you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Allowing us to be here together today, allowing us to have these words, Father, I pray that they are strengthened, that they are recognized as being from you, not me, that they teach us, guide us, and lift us. And as we are reminded of what is coming, Father, let these words help us to understand that event yet again. Be with us here in this room, and be with those who watch us from the other side of the screen. Father, we pray blessings upon them as well. Join us through this message. All is one heart and one mind. And all of Jesus' children said, Amen. Right now, I think, what is gasoline a gallon? What is it? $3.50, $4, something like that a gallon? A gallon. How much is it?
$3.60
a gallon.
$3.79.
That is a point of debate. And I'm sure you guys on the other side of the camera are doing the same thing. I'm paying $4 a gallon for it. And we're carrying on about it, ain't we? That precious liquid gasoline. Now, I have a prop. This is 16 ounces of water in a bottle with a cap. It comes from some spring up in Pennsylvania, which I'm betting you is just somebody's garden hose back behind a building. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. You go into the store and you buy a 16 ounce bottle of water, you're going to pay what? $1.50, $1.75, some places $2 for 16 ounces of water. How many ounces are in a gallon? 128, right? 124, something like that. Look at that. And that's expensive. And we think about paying, we complain about paying that for gasoline, yet people all the time walking around drinking from the, I drink from the tap. Now, I'm thankful that I have these up here, that we do this, but we think it's expensive, and yet we pay without thinking because there is a sacrifice to it. And yet some liquids have a greater cost and value than we can imagine. Every year in Alaska, there is a 1,000-mile dog sled race run for money and prizes called the Serum Run, not the Iditarod. Commemorates an original race run to save lives. Back in January of 1926, 6-year-old Richard Stanley showed symptoms of diphtheria, signaling the possibility of an outbreak in the small town of Nome. When the boy passed away a day later, Dr. Curtis Welch began immunizing children and adults with an experimental but effective anti-diphtheria serum. But it wasn't long before the supply ran out, and the nearest serum was in Nenana, Alaska, 1,000 miles away, a frozen wilderness. Amazingly, a group of trappers and prospectors volunteered to cover the distance with their dog teams, operating relays from trading post to trapping station and beyond. One sled started out in Nome, while another carrying the serum started out from Nenana. They were going to cross and turn back. Oblivious to frostbite, fatigue, exhaustion, the teamsters mushed relentlessly until after 144 hours in. Are you ready? Next time you complain about it being cold around here, in minus 50 degree winds, negative 50, the serum was delivered to Nome. And as a result, only one other life was lost due to this potential epidemic. Dogs had to be passed away. Some of the teamsters actually gave up their own life in trying to support this. That sacrifice had given this town the gift of life, a very, very precious liquid. Now, as I am a scientist and a botanist and a bunch of other names, I'm going to read to you the name of an incredible plant that grows at an altitude of about 3,000 to 5,000 meters, or if you want to get it right, 9,000 to 16,000 feet above sea level. It is called Nardodostachys jetamanse. I know I pronounced that right. Probably. Maybe. I'm sure I'll get calls from all my scientific friends going, why do you do this to yourself? But it's a flowering plant that comes from, oddly enough, the honeysuckle family. Now, who here in the summertime waits for them honeysuckle plants to get going and just goes down there just picking them things and you just go through, you eat about, what, 2 million of them, and you get about, what, that much of a taste of honey off of them things? But yet you're doing something. Come back with all the yellow all around your face. Where have you been? But these things grow in the Himalayas of Nepal, China, and India. That's an extremely rare plant. The plant grows to about 3 feet tall and has small, pink, bell-shaped flowers. Its rhizomes are crushed and distilled into an intensely aromatic, amber-colored essential oil with a thick consistency called nard. Nard. The very stuff that this woman had. I want you to understand how difficult it was to find it. Nard was considered gold. It was considered so powerful, so much money, had so much worth, that if you had a box of it, you had the equivalent of, in today's money, about $5,000. You want to know why? Because today, 10 milliliters of pure nard, 10 milliliters, 10, that's about that much, ain't it? A little bottle like that, 10 milliliters of it sells for around $15, while it fetches somewhere close to $40 an ounce. Today, in a world today where you can drive up the side of the mountain and get the stuff, it is such a precious, precious fluid. And it was reserved, even today, it's still reserved to flavor wines and salad dressings. And it's used as a preservative. And yes, even today, it is still used to layer across the top of a coffin to give a fragrance of hope, is what some cultures say. A little piddling amount today sells for such a great amount. In the day of Jesus, to have something like that meant you had wealth. This scripture is so powerful and so forgotten so often that we don't realize that three gospels recorded it. Almost all three gospels recorded it exactly the same. We go to John's gospel and we read the same words 6 days before Passover. Jesus was at Bethany where Lazarus lived. And I'm going to paraphrase. A dinner was given in his honor. Martha served it. Lazarus was there. Then Mary took about a pint of nard and poured it on his head and on his feet and wiped it with her hair. Once again, we read that everybody got mad, especially Judas, because why are you wasting this perfume in such a manner? This has money and value. We're here to help the poor. We go back to Matthew 26 and we read the same words again. While he was in Bethany at Simon, the woman came with the alabaster jar, poured it on his head. And all of them say the same thing. So great was the power and wealth of this simple liquid that it was put into sealed bottles. I read up on how it was done. They actually put the nard in the bottle, put the lid on it or the box, and they sealed it with a light amount of heat so that it would not escape. You literally had to break the box open to get to it. And we read those words that Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have, you will always have with you. And you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial, to make me ready. Even in this room, even in this moment, when going through this scripture, we read that they did not yet understand what Jesus was saying. Last Sunday, we talked about it. He began to talk about his death, and people rebuked him for it. Don't say that. You shouldn't be saying things like that. Get you behind me, Satan. You don't understand what's going on yet. You don't know the mind of God. You don't know the mission that I have come to fulfill. Scholars have speculated as to why he didn't explain it better. And the honest answer is that I have gleaned from reading a couple of it, is that Jesus knew the will and wanted them to see the way. Jesus knew what his Father had laid out for him from the moment his likeness had settled down, from the moment he was recognized by the Father, from the moment when he came up out of the water. His mission was clear and laid out. Prepare yourself. Start making ready to become the sacrifice for all of mankind from this day and forward. Every time a person finds Jesus Christ that has not previously known him, or even those that did not know him or knew him or stepped away from him and come back to him, that sacrifice is amplified all over again. It is memorialized in that person. Because they gave what they had at that moment, their very self, to Jesus Christ, who went through everything he could to be made ready to be the sacrifice. And I don't think we talk about it enough. Quite frankly, I listen to a lot of discussions, I listen to a lot of sermons, and I'm not downplaying how anybody talks about the gospel or anything like that. But the one thing we do not, in my opinion, dwell on long enough, as we approach this time of year, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, as we approach Easter, we do not realize the sacrifice that was made nearly enough. We don't talk about it clearly enough. Here is someone who walked giving life, healing, salvation, all the while knowing where he was headed. And we would do better in our lives to take a moment and take stock of that and think about it. That Jesus Christ gave his life to save you, to save me. And anything we can do that we have, that we can offer to be a part of that, to commemorate it, to lift it up, is more worth than you can possibly imagine. She had nothing. There are some that say that this is the Mary that was the harlot, the prostitute, or the one that got demons driven out of her. I don't know. There's speculation as to which Mary it was, but all we know is that this poor woman took everything she had to give it to Jesus so that he would know that he was making a difference. And that's all that was asked. He says to him, "You will always have the poor, but you will not have me here physically. Take note of what she's doing and prepare yourselves to give everything you have." When going through this scripture, a thought came to me. We've heard those two words linked together quite often, right? Free will. You have free will, don't you? You were born and you were allowed to be who you are. You were allowed to do what you want. You can choose to follow. You can choose not to follow. You can choose to do this. You can choose to do that. You're given free will. And yet, I think, after reading this, that we each have our part in God's plan, regardless of where we're at what station in life, whether we know it or not. And this woman was as much a part of the miracle of the salvation of Jesus Christ with her gift, making him ready, as anyone could be. Henrietta Mears, in her book, Dream Big, the Henrietta Mears story, said these things. "Will is the whole man active. I cannot give up my will. I must exercise it. I must will myself to obey. When God gives a command or a vision of truth, it is never a question of what he will do, but what we will do. To be successful in God's work is to fall in line with his will and do it his way. All that is pleasing to him is a success." He is constantly making us ready every minute of every day to put forth the light of Jesus Christ. When he gives us a job to do, it is not just a job. For example, we heard this morning about someone who is being sent off for several weeks to a different location to be a part of his work. Perhaps you're being sent there so that people will know who Jesus Christ is. There are those that go into an antique store, and perhaps a conversation will take place during that time, and somebody that did not know Jesus Christ may come to know him. There are those that walk into the bakery. We still have bakeries, right?
Yeah.
I guess we do. Mm-hmm. I get mixed up in that. Baker, candlestick maker. We don't have them anymore, do we? Although on a recent trip in Indiana, if you ever get out on 70 They have the biggest candle in the world out there. And I wanted to stop in and see it. Big, monstrous things, a big building. I know what it is. It was a trap to get you to come into the candle maker and buy all them candles. And none of them smell like diesel oil or steam cylinder oil or fresh cut grass or wood shop. But you could be going into any one of these places as a child of Christ. You have been made ready that moment that someone may say something or trigger something to which you may say, "Do you know my Jesus?" Henrietta Mears said, "Pay attention to the will. You're being made ready." And that is how God shows Jesus through us. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Palm Sunday. But today, we continue to look at Jesus with Him, knowing where He was headed, and yet no one truly understanding it yet. All they knew is what they had to do. All this woman knew is that all she owned in this world, she had in that box, in that pint, in that nard, and she felt it only best for the Master, not realizing that she was making Him ready for the ultimate sacrifice. You know, in that moment, if you read those three scriptures, we're reliving the beginning of, I don't even know if miracle is a good enough word. Somebody wrote these words about this miracle, meaning no disrespect to the religious convictions of others. I still can't help wondering how we can explain away what to me is the greatest miracle of all, and which is recorded in history. No one denies there was such a man, that he lived and that he was put to death by crucifixion. Where is the miracle I spoke of? Well, consider this and let your imagination translate the story into our own time, possibly to your own hometown. A young man whose father is a carpenter grows up working in his father's shop. One day he puts down his tools and walks out of his father's shop and starts preaching on street corners and in a nearby countryside, walking from place to place, preaching all the while, even though he is not an ordained minister. He does this for 3 years. Then he is arrested, tried, and convicted. There is no court of appeal, so he is executed at age 33 along with two common thieves. Those in charge of his execution roll dice to see who gets his clothing, the only possession he has. His family cannot afford a burial place for him, so he is interred in a borrowed tomb. End of story? No. This uneducated, propertyless young man, who left no written word, has for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, and emperors, all the conquerors, generals, and admirals, all the scholars, scientists, and philosophers who have ever lived, all of them put together. How do we explain that? Unless he really was who he says he was. I believe it, and I know the miracle. Words written and spoke by Ronald Reagan. Everything that we read, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, in effect making us ready to be that lamp, making us ready to talk of the gospel, making us ready to have the saving grace, making us ready for what is yet to come. And it all starts with just a little bit of oil, proving that it was worth her effort and everything she had to show her love to Jesus Christ. In the midst of everything, with everything going on today, we go back into these scriptures and watch this sacrifice, and we're reminded of what Jesus Christ is about to give us, has given. we are getting ready to celebrate it again. In the next 2 weeks, I encourage you, to go back and reread these three sets of scriptures. I encourage you to think about what was done to prepare you. I encourage you to think about what he had, what he gave up, and what he became, and what he has set forth, making us ready to be his children. Brothers and sisters, may you know how much Jesus Christ loves you by these words. I am glad for one every day. All of us are being made ready for what Jesus Christ did, what he can offer, and what we will have. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that in so many things, in so many ways, we are led without knowing it. We are being made ready. Jesus is making ready our path day after day, minute after minute, because of our belief in him, to be for him. We watched as Mary poured the nard, the oil, the fragrance on him. We watched as she used her own hair to lovingly and tenderly sacrifice for her Savior. Father, we look off in the next few weeks to that moment that we both dread and love. And we thank you, Father, that you gave your only begotten Son to save us. Let us endeavor every day to give everything we have to him, making ready that light that may lead others out of the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you on the other side of the camera, you know the drill. After all these videos, reach out to me. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, if there's something somewhere pushing against you, if you're having that moment, don't delay. Your way is being made ready. See how I tied that together? Something out there is talking to you. Reach out to me or go find someone who knows the gospel and talk to them. And for those of you here, as we sing this last hymn, if you need this bench, it's here. And I pray that each one of you follows the will for the path that Jesus is making ready for you every day. May God bless each and every one of you.
Please stand.